Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Cattlemen's Congress Conversation, a chance to catch up on the nation's best beef cattle show, put on by cattlemen for cattlemen. Now here's your host, Mr. Ron Hayes.
Thank you, Kirby. Welcome to another Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. Ron Hayes with you, and our guest today, so pleased to have along with us here at Congress, Monty Sewells, the Chief Executive Officer, CEO of the American Shorthorn Association based in Kansas City. Thank you for being with us again, and here we are at Congress, Oklahoma City Fairgrounds, in the middle of the shows. How are things going for Shorthorns?
Well, they're going real strong again this year. We've had a really good turnout. We'll exhibit over 450 head this year of shorthorn cattle here at the show. So it's one of our major shows. We have two super national shows a year, one in Louisville, and the other one is here in Oklahoma City at the Cattlemen's Congress.
Tell you what's the mood of your breeders as far as, a lot of folks have had to deal with drought a lot this year. I know that always kind of alters the mood quite a bit. What's the attitude of our shorthorn producers?
Well, in general, I would say our shorthorn producers, I'll quote somebody, we were just doing some interviews for some TV shows, and they said it's probably the best they've ever seen the breed and the most activity we've seen. Our sales last fall were maybe as strong as we've ever seen. We've seen new membership here in the last 6 months just soar, and we've seen a consistent 3-year to 4-year run of increases in new membership, and this year will blow it away. So when you start compounding that on top of one another, it really becomes quite interesting, because we're almost seeing a changing of the guard, because I would honestly say 50% of our membership is now new in the last 5 years. Wow. So we've seen a huge change and a huge surge and a lot of positive things for the shorthorn breed.
What's going on? What do you think is the reason for all of that?
I think you've got a number of reasons. Our breed can kind of, it really services more than just one area. I think all breeds have to service all these areas, but we are very good at two things. And sometimes we try to be more things than we need to be, but the two things that I think we're very good at is supplying genetics to the commercial industry, and we've put a commercial base underneath these cattle, and that adds to the show ring in the junior market. We've had great success with our junior show heifers and our junior national, and so we're seeing an influx of both areas right there, and they complement one another, because as soon as you put a commercial value and raise that commercial acceptance on a breed of cattle, all those show cattle gain in value very quickly.
Shorthorn's one of the heritage breeds here in the United States, right?
Yeah, in fact, I'd say we're probably the heritage breed, if you want to put it that way. We just got through celebrating 150 years of the American Shorthorn Association, so we are the oldest beef breed association in the United States. And they just got through celebrating the 200 years of the Coates Herd Book, which is our herd book in England, when we were at our Shorthorn Conference in England this last summer. And actually, we've had Shorthorns here in the United States for just that full 200 years. So they came in early on, and they've been one of the great breeds that have actually, Shorthorns were the animals that pulled the wagons, milked the cows, and then they turned the bulls loose on the range to breed to the Texas Longhorns originally.
So what are the attributes today that kind of makes a shorthorn a distinctive, usable animal for the commercial industry?
Well, our cattle today are, of course, not anything like what I'm talking about back during the pioneer days. But the attributes we've got today, and this may sound a little foolish to somebody, but if you've worked any cattle in your life, docility is a huge factor, and it's been proven now to have a lot of economic value. And so docility is one of our great advantages. And then we add on top of that, we're getting good carcass data, maternal traits. It's a maternal breed. They're really good replacements, but on top of that, those cattle cut and feed well, and they'll hang a carcass, and they'll yield great. And we've got guys that are actually getting these animals to yield grade a 1 and a 2 in grade prime, which is unheard of. compared to our competition.
You know, one of the ways, obviously, we're measuring things these days, you know, we've had EPDs around for quite a few years now, but we've kind of gotten EPDs now on steroids with the genomic version of EPDs. That's an important part of your breed, I know, as well.
Yeah, we're doing the genomics. Our performance program is part of the IGS system, the International Genetic Solutions. So as a result, we're actually compared to, I think it's 21 other breed associations today, and we're looking at somewhere around 20 million head of cattle that are in our data bank.
Wow.
So when we sit there and do a run and look at our shorthorn breed individually, we find that the data that we're using in our breed, about 30% of it is coming from those other breeds that have shorthorn influence in them. So with the modern technology, the amount of the data that we have and the intelligence levels that we have today versus even when EPDs originated, and then we throw genomics on top of it, these predictions become pretty accurate. And these cattle are performing sincerely the way that the numbers are coming out. Our breeders are actually being rewarded that are chasing that and putting those genomics through the system.
And, of course, you're able to actually compare across all those breeds.
Oh, yeah, without question. If you're looking at a shorthorn bull, a Simmental bull, a red Angus bull, you can compare to EPDs. They're there. That's the advantage of that. And so if you want to go into a crossbreeding program, you can compare those bulls and determine which bull you want to bring in on which set of calves and get your hybrid vigor. Hybrid vigor is taken out of the genetic evaluation, so there is no hybrid vigor. They added into that genetic evaluation, so you're going to get that on and above anything that you're looking at.
So that heterosis that you're talking about is something that you don't necessarily measure, but it can be seen.
Oh, without question. And there's research data doing now that's going to evaluate this heterosis that we're going to start to put some value, and we're going to start to see some new numbers come out and the new technology that's going to tell us how much heterosis we can get with this breed on that breed.
Right. So, you know, we're talking now with Monty Sewells from the American Shorthorn Association. Monty, you know, the breeders that you've got, good attitude, you've got some new breeders most certainly come in. How do you bring them up? How do you get them educated about everything that's valued or valuable within the shorthorn experience?
Well, we've been doing a lot of educational work and programs at our annual meeting that they have access to. We put some videos out that they can take access to. Our registry, we use a digital beef system, and that brings in a lot of information, and we just actually can bury a lot of information in there that they can look at and watch the videos on. So we got to work with them. It's a different world today than the way it used to be. I mean, I remember some of us that got a little more gray hair. If you remember an old ad there, the United Airlines would go out and say and hand out the tickets and tell everybody that you need to go see your customers. We're losing them. Well, today we just do a Zoom call.
We're all used to Zooms, it seems like, for sure. Monty, let's talk a bit about maybe another aspect of newer folks that are involved with shorthorns, your junior program. You know, I know that's a dynamic part of what's available to the breed.
Well, our junior program, we're fortunate we had a really good junior director. Shelby Diem has been with us now 6 or 7 years, and our junior program has grown. If you look at a chart, the last 6 years we have seen a continual increase in junior membership. Our junior national numbers have done the same thing. It just correlates very, very similar. And we have been voted by the best of barns for 3 consecutive years, I believe, as the best junior national, or I think it's most enjoyable is what they call it. So we've just had great success there, and a lot of it's been the effort. And our membership, our board, we put a lot of emphasis behind the juniors. It's an interesting fact. In 2015, we had a seminar, and we went through and did a lot of questionnaires with the folks there. 61% of the people of the breeders that attended that seminar were a junior breeder. So it's an important part. I don't care what breed of cattle you're in. I don't care what species you're in. Your junior market is your future. They're not only the future of your breed, they're the future of the leaders of our country, their communities, and just every aspect that we got. And if we can ground them and get them trained and give them that experiences that they get through these junior beef programs, even swine programs or lambs. It doesn't matter. FFA, 4-H, those kids are the ones that got the advantage going forward.
Monty, you know, when you think about where the shorthorn breed is today, you've talked about that you've got really a good commercial underpinning, a foundation for a lot of these areas where there's value to that shorthorn breeder because of commercial demand. How do you keep that going? What's the strategy to move forward in a positive way with that?
Well, before I had this job that I have right now as the executive of the Shorthorn Association, I was a breeder and raised purebred livestock. You know, I never had a problem selling a good one. And it's up to our breeders, and they are dedicated and they are committed. If they raise better cattle, they will come by them. And that's the biggest thing they got to do is stay on top of the technology, raise better cattle, make better cattle. And that's a really tough term for everybody to define, but I think everybody's got a vision of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You just got to keep making them better and keep improving them. You can't be satisfied. You just got to keep moving forward as fast as you can.
Down through the years, sometimes we've seen these animals swing the pendulum to extremes as far as quality or composition. Are we good in a good sweet spot, you think, right now? What's a good beef animal, a shorthorn, look like here in 2023?
Well, I think probably we could say we're in a sweet spot. I'd say we might have been in a sweet spot for the last 5 to 8 years. You know, we went through some areas in there in time that we were chasing frame, and that didn't work. And as you talk about the extremes, that moderate size that we call moderate today is really not moderate. It needs to be big enough so it can grow enough. I mean, our feedlot guys, they want a 1,500-pound steer, and that, right. You're not going to get that with a little bitty thing. So you got to put some performance and some growth in these cattle, but they got to have some depth of body, some capacity building into them, and have some muscle shape. And shape is muscle, but believe it or not, it's not just long, tall things like we used to think back in the 80s and 90s. So with all of that said, I think we're somewhat in a sweet spot. I think, again, I'll go back to as we get a little longer in the tooth, and we've all done some stupid things in our history in this livestock industry, I think we've understood we need to stay in a sweet spot, and we need to stay in the middle of the road. And I think if we realize that and carry it forward, and the technologies that we're getting today are going to keep us there a little quicker because we didn't have those technologies to keep us grounded from the standpoint of really evaluating these animals on data first and then looking at them or vice versa, but putting the two together, because one without the other, you don't have much. Right. You're going to have both, and when we look at the real cattle world, and that's what it really boils down to. We may be in the purebred business, but the real cattle world is what supports us. And so those animals, they have to grade. A lot of those cattle are sold on the grid because we got the data is working, and a lot of people don't want to believe it. They're out of business already. Right. They just don't know it.
Wrapping things up, Monty, let's swing back around and talk a little bit about Congress. You've kind of been right there as this thing came to fruition, came to reality a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now. We've got the second show was very successful. Third year, of course, we're in the middle of it right now. You know, give me your thoughts about how Cattlemen's Congress can endure.
Well, I think it's got a long legacy ahead of it for two or three reasons. Number one, your exhibitors like coming here. It's very exhibitor-friendly, and that was the goal that they had in the very first meeting that I attended. And that's really important. You got to remember why you're here. And the cost of being here is a little less than it would be at some of the other shows. We don't have all these restrictions. You can park wherever. You can find a spot to park. You don't have to go here. You don't have to do that. You're not told you got to do this. You know, cattle people are kind of independent cusses, whether they realize it or not. So they enjoy that freedom when they come here. And it just works. And that mutual respect is what's proven to let this show grow. And I think it's got a really long legacy that's going to be laid down ahead of us going forward for a number of years, simply because if you keep this thing as an exhibitor friendly, you'll see nothing but it grow and just gain stability for a long time.
Thank you, Monty. Monty Sewell is joining us today from the American Shorthorn Association on another edition of Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. I'm Ron Hayes. Have a great day, everybody.